Today is Saturday, the 29th of October 2022, and we are all gathered for the 54th session on mindfulness for beginners. And I would also like to note that this is a video on session, so you can turn your videos on if you would like to. And I would also like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, representing Nisarana Vane Forest Monastery, to participate in this session, providing us valued inputs on mindfulness. Secondly, I would like to warmly welcome all the participants participating through Zoom and the Facebook live stream of the Ratnapala Foundation. This program is going to deliver you with a lot of insights and training guidance on mindfulness so that you can practice that through mindful walking, mindful sitting, and also daily mindfulness, so that you can gain enormous benefits, mental benefits, health benefits, and the list goes on. So we will start off with in-session practice of mindfulness, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where you can raise any verbal questions regarding your practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. So to start things, I would invite with much respect for Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits, Bhante.
Thanks, Namanta. So everybody, we will start the program with a sitting session today. We are going to take about 10 to 15 minutes to sit mindfully. First, you can adjust your posture. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. And when you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. Sit in a comfortable manner. Close your eyes gently and be aware that you are sitting. Notice what are the things that become prominent when you pay attention like this. Maybe you hear the surrounding sounds. Various people talking. Noise of vehicles. Various sounds may be there. In addition, you may feel your seated body as well. The pressure on your back. Sensations of your feet touching the ground. In addition, the breathing might be also prominent. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. for some of you, breath touching at your nostrils might be prominent. For some of you, this movement of the stomach or the chest according to the breath might be prominent. Time to time, various thoughts, mental images, future planning might appear. Although you get carried away initially, after a while you notice, you become aware that you are thinking. Let these thoughts pass naturally and be aware that they are there. Again and again, sounds come and go while you are seated here. Again and again, thoughts appear while you are seated here. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes you may feel various sensations in your body. Sometimes you may feel pain. Among all these things, you know that you are seated in this present moment. You have that awareness. So as a group, let's try to continue this awareness for a few more minutes. Okay, now you may open your eyes again. So this is just about 10 minutes of sitting practice. This is just to give you an idea. So the invitation is that every day, if you can take some time, 10-15 minutes, and daily do a sitting session like this. Make it a habit of your daily life and try to continue with this practice. When you continue, you may have your own experience and you can share it, and we'll have a discussion regarding the practice. So that's the idea of this practical session. So with that, Namant, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bhante. As Bhante mentioned, the reason we include this in-session practice is for you to follow up each day with at least 10-15 minutes of each session, one session on mindful walking and one session on mindful sitting. So with that in-session practice completed, we will next move on to the reports that have been received for today's session. We have five received, collected for today. So I would like to invite Lushani to present the five reports and conduct the balance of the question and answer session. Over to Lushani. Thank you, Lushani.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bhante. So as Namantha mentioned, we have five reports. I will read the first report for today. Report one, sitting meditation. Watched breath as primary object. After initial observing long and short breaths on in-breath and out-breath at nostrils, the pattern changed. There appeared to be spreading of nostrils, and in- and out-breaths appeared over a much wider area, spreading out even wider than the cheeks. After a while, the perception changed yet again to the breath more prominent in left nostril. The breath was short and equal in length for in- and out-breath. Pain noted in hips, but was able to continue watching breath without moving position. Opened eyes, but noted still more time for alarm, so continued to meditate for 45 minutes. Walking meditation. Observed initial left, right, and then lifting, moving, placing of feet. Noted the start and end of each three movements. Thoughts noted to arise and pass. Continued for 1 hour. Daily mindfulness. Further to advice last week, to just watch impatience and irritation arising this week, has had very few occasions when those emotions have arisen. On one occasion, when anger arose, mind aware and able to cut it short, mind more accepting and less critical of the situation than previously. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report.
Okay, so regarding the sitting practice, when you continue with your practice, you may notice that the perception of the breath is changing. You can feel it varying. You can feel it changing. So that's a good observation. Good observation. And you just have to continue with that observation. Try to observe this changing breath. Try to see how the shape is changing, how the location is changing, how the perception is changing. So this is very much valuable part of the practice. Now you start to see the change. Earlier, maybe you didn't notice this change. Now you start to notice it. So that's a very good sign. Very good sign that you have a stronger mindfulness. With that stronger mindfulness, you notice how fast this breath is changing. Continue with it. Continue to observe this change that is happening again and again, 101 times. You try to observe it. we are not in a hurry. So you can just do today's part, then just function as usual. Then tomorrow also do the sitting session, try to observe. Then again, function as usual. Then again, do like that, you continue. And when you continue, you can see the results of this practice. Even day-to-day life, you feel a difference. Your mind is less critical about the situations, about people. So that's a good thing. The friction is changing. Friction is a very good sign of the level of your practice. If you feel more and more friction, not in short term, probably in long term, if you feel more and more friction, then something wrong with your practice. With practice, you feel the friction is reducing. Not in a day or two, probably like within few weeks, within few months, you feel it. And you see how your mind is becoming less and less critical about situations and people. So that's a very good sign. Just continue and you may report next week as well.
Thank you, Bhante. I report to Mindful Walking, 21st of October. Walked indoors on wooden floor. Noted how the body weight was balanced on both feet before the walking started. Then there was movement of feet, which was prominent, right foot lifting, moving and placing, alternated with that of the right foot. Notice the coolness of the floor at one end of the path and a slightly warmer sensation at the other. When thoughts appeared, they didn't persist. So the mind returned to the movement of feet again. After about half an hour, the distinct sensations of walking had reduced. It seemed that the feet were being placed on the floor abruptly, for example, like stamping on something, lifting of heel, arch, and toes not able to notice now. Walking had become slower, and the body felt heavier, as if being pulled down towards the floor. Pressure in right hip noticed, and with that walking had changed to limping a bit with the right foot. However, the mind also noted that the feeling in the left hip was neutral as well as in the upper body. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and became aware that the body was seated. There was all alertness in the mind. After a couple of quick body scans, the posture was adjusted into a more balanced position. Notice the low temperature in the room as cold. Desire to switch heating on emerged in mind. However, that thought was recognized as a thought and continued to sit. Soon after, the breath appeared. In breath was cool and out breath a little warmer. Short breaths and long breaths were clearly distinguished by the mind. The small gap between in and out breaths also noticed. After a while, the previous thought of switch heating on re-arose as a dull desire now in the background. The breath was noted again. The temperature change of in and out breaths had reduced. Silence in the background noted. Body was still, mind felt calm. Breathing became subtle and broke up from time to time. When boredom and sleepiness arose, the mind moved attention to the body, which was drooping to one side. The upper body moved slightly to rebalance. Then the attention moved to breath again. There was a long breath which was prominently felt now. Gap was also noted again. Sat for 1 hour. Body and mind felt energized after the session and also noted that the room felt warmer at the end, even though heating was not switched on. Mindfulness during the day. Noted how prominently the movements were felt while preparing a meal. One hand holding the knife and the other holding vegetables while peeling and chopping. The palm and fingers held the knife firmer when chopping, and in a different pressure in the left felt when peeling. However, after a while, these sensations reduced. Even though the food preparation continued with similar movements, when various thoughts appeared in the mind, these didn't persist or make stories. the attention returned to the food preparation naturally. This swap between mindfulness of the current action and noticing thoughts in the mind happens several times until the end of meal preparation. Another time, the irritation arose while walking home from the station. A man walking in front had lit a cigarette. It was not noticed until the smell of it was felt. Just before noticing the smell, the mind was fairly neutral, but now it was finding fault with the person and the cigarette and why they shouldn't do this around non-smokers. Within few seconds of noticing the irritation and associated sensations in the body, a better option appeared. This was just to just cross the road and continue to walk home away from the smoke. The man possibly had no idea about the story in my mind, and he continued to smoke while walking. And after crossing the road, this mind had returned to feeling neutral again. A year ago, this event would have turned out quite differently. Irritation would have persisted, and wrong thinking and mental judgments would have continued to much longer. But now the mind became aware of a more useful alternative within a few seconds. Venerable Bhante, look forward to your valuable guidance in how to move the practice forward. Much merit to you and the organizers of this Dhamma program. End of the report.
Hey, we are glad to hear your experience. Now, this is called self-discovery. You discover about yourself. You try to pay attention and try to notice what is happening inside you. So these things were happening from the very beginning, but you didn't notice because you didn't pay attention. Now you are paying attention. Now you start to notice how this mind works. With that observation, more and more options become available to you. So earlier, you might not have an option, right? If you get a thought to turn on the heating, then you go do it. But now we identify the thought and we see, we try to be aware and we let it be. After a while it passes away, then again it comes. You can see if you need, you of course you have the option to do. If you need, you can just let it go. Few more options become available to you. You can take something positively, take something negatively, or you can stay neutral. So those are the three options towards any mind object. Usually we don't have these options. Usually if something is pleasant, we take it as pleasant. If something is unpleasant, we take it as unpleasant. And towards neutral, we are ignorant. That's the usual way of working. Now you have few more options due to the practice. That's why it says the practitioner, they can take mind objects in any way. Let's say unpleasant mind object arises in mind. One can take it as pleasant. One can take it as neutral. One can take it as unpleasant. Those three options become available to you. So as a part of the practice, you select or you pick the option that you are not used to. Usually, let's say that smoker, you are used to take it as unpleasant. Now you try different options as a part of the practice. And you see how it is affecting your mind, how it is helping to return back to your usual level of day-to-day status. So that's the idea. And it is true. You realize that when the mind is energized, the room feels warmer without heating. When the mind is different, the room feels warmer. Probably a solution to Europe's energy crisis these days, right? Energize your mind, then the room feels warmer, right? So that's the way. It's a matter of inside. When your mind is dark, the entire world is dark. When your mind is light or the positive, then the entire world is positive. this is what happens. So wherever you go, if you are not peaceful in your mind, you won't be at peace. No matter wherever you go, you won't be at peace because you are not peaceful in your mind. If you have that peace in your mind, wherever you go, you are peaceful. Even you go to hell, still you are peaceful because you have peace inside. If you don't have that quality, then you go to heaven, still no use. You'll be suffering. You'll be complaining over there as well. So that's what happens. When inside changes, the outside changes. Without heating, you feel the room warmer because your mind is energized. So that's the result of the practice. That explains it. That very sentence explains the results of the entire practice. When the mind is energized, the room feels warmer. That's how it starts. It's a matter of insight. When your mind is positive, you feel, you read the world positively. When your mind is negative, you read the world negatively. The idea of the practice is to understand this. Sometimes you may be negative. You feel agitated in your mind. You can't control it. But still, you know that I am negative in this time. I feel agitated. I find complaint all the time. So that very knowing will save you. That very knowing will tell you to keep your mouth shut. That very knowing will tell you to not to do much because your mind is agitated, because your mind is negative. That very knowing will help us. We are not guaranteeing you that you can get rid of these things. No, we are not giving that guarantee. Instead, we say, although they'll be there, you will know that you're agitated. When you're positive, you will know that you're positive. When you're neutral, you will know that you are neutral. That very knowing will protect you. It's like wearing gloves before touching electric line. That glove will protect you. That very knowing in your mind. So this is the idea of the practice. And we are happy to hear your experience. We suggest you to continue like this and continue to observe. Then you can survive even without heating. Right? That's the idea.
Thank you, Bhante. Report number 3, mindfulness in the day. Woke up with an alert mind and was happy to meditate formally, starting with walking meditation. Busy day, but mind stayed on numerous tasks, doing each one with mind on the task, with mind not going to the future or past, and was aware of this and mind happy. Husband wanted lift and happy to pause the plans to drop and pick him up. He then proceeded to tell me his plan of what I should do whilst waiting for him and where to park, etc. Very unmindfully, irritation arose. Spoke harshly, stating I was happy to drop and pick, but did not agree with what he wanted me to do whilst waiting for him. As the anger was arising, recognized the unwholesome speech and reiterated to him, "We'll be happy to pick him up," in non-harsh manner. He then decided that he would prefer to walk back home as it was a nice day. Noted the disappointment in mind that I would not be picking him up. Felt bad that he preferred to walk, probably as I had been harsh and not because he would get some exercise on a nice day as he stated. Noted that clinging to the sense of I and wanting to do things how I wanted and the conceit of not wanting to hear or do what he wanted were all unwholesome and unhelpful. Asked him to let me know if he changed his mind and wanted picking up. After dropping him, continued mindfully with the task. Walking meditation. Noted standing posture, weight on both feet, one more than the other. Cold tile felt more on one foot than the other. Walked on tile floor, watching feet lifting, moving, and placing. Observed the thought to lift, thought to move, and thought to place before each action. In one foot, saw gaps between each movement. At times, only a few thoughts arose and passed. Not disturbing. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Watched breath. short in, out breaths equal in length, which disappeared after a short time. Images appeared and passed. Thoughts came and went. Sounds heard but not disturbing. Breath became prominent again. Meditated 45 minutes. With gratitude to Bhante for the guidance and to the organizers. End of the report.
Okay, so this is how the mind works, you know. You try to do something, then based on that, maybe somebody else react to that, and you get some other thought or feeling. Then again, after a while, you feel sad due to that. Then again, you want to go suggest something. So it's a never-ending process. It's not going to end. This continues. They go on cycles. We say Ouroboros, the serpent eating its own tail. It's a never-ending process, right? So the same serpent eating its own tail. And again, the cycle continues. It's the cycle between life and death. It's the cycle in these thoughts. It's the cycle in your body. Wherever you look, that continuation will be there. So instead going, continuing in that cycle, we try to escape from it. The method of escaping is this very knowing. Instead of getting carried away with the cycle, you see how it is continuing again and again. Even in your breath, that very cycle is there. It's a never-ending process. Again and again you breathe. You take your breath in, it goes out, again it goes in, it goes out. It's like that. The change between day and night. The end of the day is night. The end of the night is day. Again and again, it continues. So everything, they goes on cycles. These thought processes are also the same. And these family lives are also the same. When you look towards your mother, you see your path, the path ahead. When you look towards your sister, daughter, you see the path you passed. So it's the same cycle that continues. Never-ending cycle. It continues again and again. The serpent eating its own tail. Instead of going in this cycle, instead of getting carried away, this very knowing will release you. This very knowing will let you get rid of this cycle. This very knowing will allow you to escape this cycle. Now you are not getting attached to it. Now you are the observer. There are positive things, there are negative things, there are neutral things. Still, you are not giving your vote. You are just the observer. You are not getting carried away with this process. That is the power of this practice. Otherwise, most people, they would prefer good. They would prefer good over evil. That's the idea. And they want to continue it. Still, they are in that very same cycle. They don't have escape. Because it is continuing. When you have good, based on that good, you have bad. Then you have evil. Based on that, you have good. It's a never-ending process. It's the similar way, similar cycle. The change between light and dark. Or good and evil. So in a way, you give up both. You understand this is good. You understand this is evil. And you vote for nothing. You don't vote for evil. You don't vote for good. Instead, you just become the observer. That very observer is talking. This report is based on that observation. So that observer is talking. You see how this process is happening again and again. When you talk to somebody, even within few minutes, positive, negative, so many emotions come and go. You say one thing, then it's hurtful for somebody else. Then again, you feel sad. Then again, that person says something else. Then again, you feel some other emotion. So this is how it goes. Now the idea is to observe. Now the idea is to know how this process is continuing again and again. How this never-ending cycle is continuing in your mind. That very observation will allow you to have this interest towards this process. It will create some kind of a distance from this process. It could be good, it could be evil. Still, you don't feel much moved by it. It could be positive, it could be negative. Still, you don't feel much moved by this process. That very distance will save you. So continue with this observation, and with time you realize you are distancing yourself. Of course, if you pay attention, the world is there. Your husband is there. The usual matters are there. But you have certain kind of a distance from this world, from this process. So that very distance is the peace that we are talking about. That very distance will create peace in your mind. So continue, and we are happy to hear your experience regarding the practice.
Thank you, Bhante. Report 4, mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a balanced position. Closed eyes gently and waited. A body scan happened a few times. Feeling of pulsations noted in the soles of feet, legs and shoulders. Neck muscles were tight and these relaxed. Then the breath appeared. With noticing of the breath, the body relaxed further. In-breath and out-breath noted, although the gap between the two not noted. There were sounds in the background and mind interrupted these for a moment, like the refuse truck passing, coughing of a family member, etc. However, unlike in the past, now the sounds don't disturb the mind or create further stories about what's heard. Noted the in and out breaths becoming a bit subtle. Gap between the two was noticed now. Mind was aware of the sitting posture of the body as pressure was felt more on the lower back and not on the soles of feet, knees or hips. Mind returned to the breath again. Calmness in mind felt. Breath was becoming subtle. Not sure if breath broke up, but now multiple streams of air waves were noted outside the face, which appeared and disappeared at intervals. After a while, a long breath was noticed more prominently. Continued to sit for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. Below is an example of how the formal practice of mindfulness seems to be filtering into the day-to-day life. An elderly family member who came from Sri Lanka a few months ago wasn't well earlier this week. Having planned to visit a temple about 50 miles away, but due to the illness, the trip was cancelled. However, two of the resident monks informed that they would instead arrive the following day to bless the family member. Events that followed were very different from even as recent as a year ago. The mind was calm while continuing to attend to the care of the family member, taking him to the doctor, collecting medication, dropping him back at home, then returning to shopping for the almsgiving for the following day, while also mentally noting the various preparation tasks. The usual agitation, excitement, or the restlessness was missing, and instead, the calm confidence of all will be well. Just note where the attention is while doing each of these actions appeared in the mind. Preparations continued in this manner much of that day and into the evening. The almsgiving went well. Usually on the day of such an event, there is a lot of commotion with looking for this and that, even though so much preparation is already done beforehand. But this day, there was no agitation, commotion, or running around. Instead, there was calmness of the mind in the background while attending to the tasks at hand. The following observation was made after the event. Usually when rapid changes to original plans emerge, the tendency is to react with agitation and restlessness. Therefore, even when lots of preparations are made, much of it is not noted or connected by the mind. Then when something is needed, it cannot be found without wasting a lot of time just because the mind was thinking of something else and not on the task at hand during preparation. When the mind is calmer, coupled with that can-do attitude, the memory of what preparations were done, what action followed the one before, etc., were more readily accessible in the mind. This observation was done few other times in the recent months too, and will continue to observe more and more. Venerable Bhante, look forward to your valuable guidance in how to move the practice forward. Much merit to you and the organizers of this Dhamma program. End of the report.
Okay, so let me start like this. Now, you mentioned that the sounds are there, that you don't bother going after them, right? Let's say there's a beginner or a newcomer here, and if we tell them, they'll come and complain. They'll have so many complaints. They will say that sounds are bothering, I can't be mindful. Thoughts are bothering, I can't be mindful. I feel sleepy, so that's a problem. Various things are there. Bodily aches, pains are there, so I can't be mindful. So they have 101 excuses. So the advice is that no matter whether sounds are there, no matter whether thoughts are there, no matter whether you fall asleep, you just do your sitting session. 10, 20 minutes per day, do it. Don't worry about being mindful. Just sit for the sake of sitting and just make it a part of your daily life. Eventually, the practice will come. Eventually, the mindfulness will grow. And one day you will come and say this type of a statement. That same person that complained earlier will come and say, now the sounds are not bothering me. Now the thoughts are there, still I am mindful. So that is the strength of repetitive practice. And we are not giving the answer. You come with the answer. You come and say one day, okay, sounds are there, but still, it's not bothering me. It's not disturbing me. The storytelling is no more. So that very realization is how it grows. This is your realization, not ours. Now you realize, earlier you thought the sounds came and bothered you. Now you realize you went and bothered sounds. You went after them. Usually they go their way. They follow their nature. They appear, they last for a while, they disappear. That's their nature. Thoughts, they follow their nature. They appear, last for a while, they disappear. That's their nature. You go and grab them. Your very mind goes and grab them. You go and complain. You go and hold on to them. That's what happens. So letting go is naturally there if you don't do anything. So much doing is there in your mind. That's why you feel that sounds are bothering. That's why you feel the thoughts are bothering. So this is a very good realization. That through your own practice, you realize earlier sounds used to bother me. Now it's no more. Thoughts used to bother me. Now it's no more. I can be mindful. That very realization is what matters. Right? And this is not ending here. It will continue again and again. Now, let's say family members become sick. Same process will happen. Earlier, you used to get bothered by them so much. Earlier, you used to worry too much. Earlier, you used to storytell whether this person might die or we might have to go to a hospital. Various 100 stories you are telling, right? Now, although the family members are sick, you do your part. You do your best. And you are just calm and peaceful. So the world doesn't like it. Family members, they don't like it. They're asking, why are you not crying? Aren't you afraid that we'll die? And they're asking. Even the temple monks, they don't like the meditating people. They don't like the meditating monks because they don't care. They travel a long distance. They come and do the blessing. But you ask a meditating monk, they won't care. They won't come to bless. So that's the difference in your mind. that what happens when you do this practice. In a way, you are not moved by these worldly things. People don't like it. The world doesn't approve. They want you to cry. They want you to do your part more and more. They want you to travel so many miles and come. They want you to, you know, greed for so many weeks. That's how the world works. That's what they need. But when you practice, you realize you do your part. You don't worry about it too much. You are at peace. That very peace is expressed in this report. So you go tell your family members, although you are sick, I didn't care much, they won't like. They will complain. The world doesn't approve. But if you need some kind of a lasting peace, this is the way. This is the way. More and more you continue, you realize that I do my part. I do it as per my capability. Then I let it be. If that person heals, he heals. If he dies, not what to do. That's the life. That's the life. When you are born, you are born with that death certificate. You can't escape that. That very process is happening. As soon as you are born, that's the very first present that you get. Death. That's the very first present, birthday present. So what to do with it? You can cry. You can kill yourself. What to do? There's no real solution. So when you practice, you realize, although these things are happening, you are not worrying so much. Then similar thing will happen to the entire world. What happened to the sounds? That thing will happen to the entire world. Thoughts about your family members, same thing will happen. The things you value, same thing will happen. They don't come and bother you. You don't get worried over those things. They don't disturb you. That very peace is the lasting peace that we are talking about. So continue. You have very good signs. If you continue, you realize that although the people get sick, they don't come and bother you, these thoughts. Although various disasters happen in the world, they don't come and bother you. Same thing that happened to those sounds, it will happen to the entire world. When it happens to the entire world, you are peaceful. Usually, last stronghold is thoughts and emotions. Sounds, they go. Various things, it's easier to get rid of. Thoughts and emotions, that's the last stronghold. So when you continue, you realize little by little, they too, you are releasing. It's a gradual process. So continue, and you will realize what we are talking about.
Thank you, Bhante. The last report for the day, report 5, mindful walking. During a short holiday walking on the hillside, observe the sensations and movements of the feet as well as observing the thoughts in the mind. Felt the hardness of the ground and the softness of the grass only from time to time, but also recognize the thoughtless state of the mind as well as the thoughts that occurred from time to time. Although I was climbing a hill, body was very light, perhaps because the mind was empty of thoughts. Could relate to your words, Venerable Bhante, of gravitational pull disappearing with practice. The thoughts that came to surface from time to time were mainly about helping others, but had the awareness that these were also sanya or things that I have stored in the brain. Gave no value to them and they faded away and mind remained empty again. From time to time, felt strongly that what's inside of the body is also what's outside in nature and that everything is made of the four elements of earth, water, heat and air, including the matter in the body. Where is self found in that? But there were also times where sense of self was felt strongly. Even after nearly 4 hours of walking, there was no tiredness and the body remained unusually light. Dear Venerable Bhante, your feedback on this experience is very much appreciated to develop the practice. With much gratitude for all that you have taught me with metta.
Okay, so yeah, good observation. Now, when you take it as a whole, there's a self, right? You feel like there's a solid self. But when you inquire, when you break it into bits and pieces, you can't really find anything. You can't really find anything. But again, when something happens, there's this solid self. You react. You feel angry. You feel this resistance. Again, when you inquire, you can't really find any essential value. So this is the observation that we do. Again and again, we get caught. Again and again, we react. Again and again, we get angry. But when you turn around and inquire, there's no real solid self. But when something happens, you take it so strongly and you react. This very process is there. So the stronger you hold, the heavier it'll be. That's what happens to most of the people. Although they are not carrying anything with their body, they have a huge baggage in their mind. The heavier the baggage, more and more weight they feel. So although they walk empty-handed, they carry a huge weight, huge baggage. And all they suffer. Wherever they go, they complain. Whoever they meet, they find fault. So those are the signs of such people. Emotional baggage, too heavy. But when you practice, you realize gradually it goes away. Gradually you feel lighter and lighter. So it says if you want to fly, just get rid of everything that weighs you down. That's the way, right? So in a way, we are trying to fly. Right, you feel that little by little, you become lighter and lighter. That very lightness in your mind is the results of this practice. Even for a bhikkhu, it says, he moves around freely in this world like a bird. Because no baggage, whatever that person had given up already. Still, there could be emotional baggage inside their mind, but with practice, they gradually let it go. So they travel, they fly in this world like a bird, it says. There's nothing to weigh them down. So that's the very results of this practice. You realize that you feel light. The friction is less. Things are happening, various situations come, but they don't go that much into your memory. You see that naturally this mind lets go these things again and again. So that very practice will allow you to feel this lightness. That very practice will allow you to feel peace. You can't really call happiness to this feeling. You can call it peace. That's a much better word to use. You feel you're at peace. If you are happy, of course, the unhappiness will follow along. Both are connected. So this very peace, nobody can break it. Nobody can destroy it. You feel peaceful in your heart. You feel light in your heart. No amount of money can buy you this. That's the thing. Otherwise, the rich people, the famous people, they will buy. That's not the way. Again and again, you see them kill themselves. again and again how much they suffer you see on the television. Again and again what kind of a life they are living you see. When you see that, you are sure the money can't buy it. Material things won't bring you happiness. Material things won't bring you peace. So this very peace, that's the results of this practice. It's not easy to acquire. Maybe after months of practice, you feel this, you give this report. Now, earlier when the advice was given, you didn't have no clue. But you continue with your practice. You are not practicing with the idea of getting light. You are not practicing with the idea of getting rid of friction. Instead, you simply be mindful. You walk, you be aware. You sit, you be aware. You do your day-to-day things and you be aware. That very practice will result in these experiences. That very practice will bring you peace. So continue and more continue. More and more peace you will feel. More and more lightness you will feel in your mind. That very peace nobody can destroy. No matter what's the location, what's the country that you live. No matter whether the world goes into third world war. It doesn't matter. You are still at peace. You are peaceful. So that very peace, nobody can destroy it. So that's the idea of the practice. We are happy to hear your experience. Continue. And you can share it. Share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante, for your insightful guidance. So now, everyone, we have some time to ask any questions from Bhante. If you have any questions, you can raise your Zoom hand, and then you can ask your question. So I'll give a few seconds to see whether anyone has any questions for Bhante. It's a really good opportunity to ask any specific questions from him. Yes, Samantha, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, thank you, Shani. Thank you, Bhante, for taking my question as well. Bhante gave some really good advice earlier, well, in all the questions, and one in particular, which I also experience in different situations as well, is when someone tells you what to do, and which I find in different situations as well, and I sometimes wonder how I react. Obviously, sometimes from what Bhante was saying, I realize that my ego gets in the way and I will go against, I will speak from what my dislike or my like is to that situation and put my view across. So if I just want to clarify exactly what Bhante said to deal with the situation. Did Bhante mean like you would be mindful and you would accept, and or would I accept what that person wants me to do? Or as I continue with my meditation, the distance and my inner peace will increase and become stronger for me to deal with, and I would realize how I would deal with those situations? Or would I have to, until I get to those states, you know, as time goes by, I increase my strength and in my mind, would I have to also, rather than just be mindful, would I have to also at the same time inject some wisdom to the situation and then sort of realize that, you know, this is what's happening, and I have to have some, maybe is my ego get in the way, and I have to inject some, have some metta, and have some idea of how that person is, why that person is saying what they're saying to me, and yeah, have metta to themselves and say okay, and compromise initially. So basically, mindful with, you know, that sampajanna or yonasi manasakara, do I, does that come in at that stage, or do I just simply just continue to deal with my meditation and improve my mind state, and that will naturally happen, would I realize, as my meditation increases? That's my question, Bhante, if that makes sense.
You asked the question from the wrong person, that's the issue. So I have the same problem, you know. My ego is also the same. So I am calm and peaceful till somebody crosses his line. Right? Then I don't have metta, I have a club. Right?
Yeah.
Club, I take it and I hit them. Right? Don't cross that line. I have a certain kind of a margin. If you come crossing that, then I have a club. I don't have a metta with me. I don't have wisdom with me. I have a club. It's easier to handle with a club. You take it and you give a shot and they realize the message, right? So in a way, you ask the question from the wrong person, right? But this is what I can suggest. When you are met with those type of situations, just deal with it. Deal in the natural way, right? But make sure that every day you are continuing with your formal practice. Let's say 30 minutes of sitting, 30 minutes of walking. Even if you can't do the walking, at least during your day-to-day life, probably you are walking a few kilometers every day. So be attentive, pay attention, and try to continue that formal practice. When it comes to these situations, you don't have a choice that much. You can just simply react the way you react. Simply do it as it comes naturally to you. But again, you go and practice. Again, you do the formal meditation. Again, you face your day-to-day life. Again, you do the formal meditation. Again, you face your day-to-day life. That way, you continue for a few months, few years. Then suddenly, you realize now I am reacting in a different way. No, instead now I am responding instead of reacting. That realization will come with practice. Now, if you heard earlier reports, they mentioned this same realization in few occasions. They are saying the sounds are there. They are not bothering me. Now, that very person might have asked a question earlier, a few months ago, about sounds. I can't sit, I can't be mindful because the sounds are there. Now, whatever the answer I give a few months ago, it won't help. I can't tell them, that person, to get let go of the sounds. That won't happen. That is not how the mind works. Instead, I should tell them, okay, that's fine, let the sounds be. Just continue with your sitting. Continue with your walking. As a result of that very mindfulness, one day you realize that the sounds are not bothering you. As a result of that very mindfulness, one day you realize I am not getting angry due to these situations. One day you realize, of course, I have few options, few ways of reacting to this person. So that very realization comes as a result of the practice. Of the practice. It's not the result of facing this type of situations. You can't go to these situations. You can't be prepared. That's not how the world works. It finds ways to surprise you. So you go, you face them. Again, you come and meditate. Again, you go and face them. Again, you fail. Again, you come and meditate. That very process will strengthen you. And one day, the very person that's talking might come and tell us that I used to ask these questions, but you advised me to continue with this practice, and I continued to see the results after a few months. This is my realization. This is my own experience. So for now, have a club, not metta. Have a club and try to keep it there, right? Whoever comes crossing that line, use that club. And it's much easier. If you start using metta, it's a never-ending process. It will drag for weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Just take the club, hit, and that's done. On the spot, you are done, right? you solve the question, no inquiries, nothing is needed, right? Then again, you can move forward. You can go to the next situation. If you use metta, then it'll chase after you for weeks. Sometimes you worry, I should have responded like this. I should have told him. Various things are there, right? So you can't go to these situations prepared. That's not how it works. Instead, do the formal practice. As a result of the formal practice, you will find new ways to face these situations. Because you know your situation. I am an outsider. I can't really advise you to do. I don't know the context. So you have to face them, right? What I suggest is that make formal practice a part of your daily life. At least 20, 30 minutes of formal practice. That very practice will solve all your questions. Not just this one. Whatever the questions you have been asking, everything will be solved by the practice. So what I suggest is continue with the formal practice. And with that practice, you will find more and more innovative ways to face these situations. Fair enough, you think?
Yes, definitely, Bantri. Thank you. That's really helpful.
Have that club.
Yes, I think, I think so, because I don't feel, if I'm having metta, I'm not really true to myself. Obviously, I will just be pretending in situations. So I think that's really helpful, Bhante, to carry on meditating, and that will give me the answer. So that's really helpful. Thank you, Bhante. I'll do that, because it's make my practice more regular. Which it's a bit at the moment hit and miss, but yeah, thank you, Bhante. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Samantha, for that valuable question. Next, we have Gihanta. Gihanta, you can unmute yourself and ask the question.
Thank you, Lushani. Bhante, my question is. During the last few sessions, we've been talking about observing and not reacting and letting go, or maybe more importantly, what you say is let it be. My question is, how can one get better at deciding to let something be, or whether to take action? Because in life, when we are confronted with situations or with people, or generally we have to take some action. So how does one get better to be able to decide, is action necessary at this point, or do you let it be? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, same type of answer I have to give. Now, let's say you met with a difficult situation, right? Somebody come and advise you, let it go, let it be. Can you do it? You really can't do it, right? You may take a club and hit that person, hit that advisor. You are advising me to let it be, but I can't really do. I'm suffering so much. And you are suggesting me to let it go. You are suggesting me to let it be. How can I do? That's a really reasonable response. You try it. You go to a suffering person and tell him, let it be. Let it go. He will turn and slap you. That's not possible for that person. That reality is so exhausting. That reality is so real to that person. So that although let it go is the usual advice that we give, even that song is there, no, let it go, but still you can't do it. In reality, you can't do it. When you are met with a difficult situation, you can't do it. So what's the solution that we are suggesting? The solution is the formal practice. You can't go prepared to those situations. you can face those situations and practice let it go, right? Instead, come and be mindful. Try to sit for 30 minutes. Try to walk for 30 minutes and see, can you observe your breath? Can you be mindful how the thoughts processes are happening? How these sounds, various emotions, they come and go while you are seated here. That is the starting point. That is the way to solve this problem, right? Again and again you do it. Not just a day, not just a week, but every day you do. Sometimes due to problems, you can't do it. But still, tomorrow again you start. 20, 30 minutes of sitting, that's the very first thing that you do in your day. You wake up, you sit for 30 minutes. Make it a habit. Make it a part of your daily life. No matter what happens, continue with it. And when you continue, you will come and tell us the answers. That's what happens. You will come and share your experience. Okay, this happened. And this is how I responded. I used to respond like this. Now, due to the practice, this is how I responded. That is your experience. That is your experience. You find unique ways to face your situations. You find unique ways to solve your problems. Because you are the person facing those situations. You are the person facing those problems. Nobody else will understand. Of course, you can comfort you saying that we understand. But bullshit. That's not true. Nobody can understand. You are all alone in your mind. Although you sleep with your spouse in night, still you sleep alone at your mind. There's no second person. We are all alone in our mind. So when you face situations, when you face problems, you have to make sure that you find unique solutions. You are the person that's dealing with those things. So what we suggest is practice. What we do is again and again do this formal practice. Try to go to the your day, working day, face it. Again, next day also you start with sitting, face it. That's how you do. When you do it again and again, within few months, within few weeks, you realize that you are developing. Within few weeks, within few months, you realize I am changing my behavior. I feel more lighthearted. I feel more peace in my mind. So that's the way. So you may one day come and tell us the answer to these questions.
Thank you, Manfred, for your valuable advice. Gihanta, thank you for that very valuable question. Is there anyone else who wants to ask a quick question? I can't see any hands up, so I think that ends the report reading and the Q&A session for today. Thank you, Bhante, once again for your guidance, always. Now, Mantha, I will hand it back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mishan and Mathmeet, for a lengthy Q&A session being conducted, and I'm sure Bhante is maybe exhausted after this lengthy Q&A. Bhante, I'm all right for us to skip the talk for today if Bhante is feeling tired. So we have one.
Amanda, I think that's better. Anyway, okay. We had a long talk today. So
yes. Yes. So, yes. Because our session is supposed to help out all attendees. So whenever it happens, we have a lot of reports. We will give priority for that. And anyway, the insights shared by Bhante comprise the content that would have gone into a talk. So you can consider that whatever answers that Bhante gave were actually part of the talk for today's session. And it's wonderful to see these kind of reports and questions being asked, and which makes the matter a live thing that we are working and practicing on. So keep on sending these reports and keep on asking your questions. The thing I would like to note as a person joining in this session is that when you're doing mindfulness practice, you don't have to, you know, add certain things, flavors here and there. When you do the mindful sitting and mindful walking sessions regularly, that experience will become your guiding light in time of a difficulty. For example, if I do this practice and walk on the road and I get to stop at a color light, right? The practice will kind of guide me at that time. Okay, you don't have any control here. You just, if you feel angry, let yourself feel angry. Because you're not going to step out of the car and break the color light, right? You will feel angry. You will be in the car. So it's quite okay. So like that, your practice will guide you at that time. Let it do it automatically. If I have the option of injecting some wisdom into my mind, but it is done if it is really needed. Otherwise, your mindfulness practice that you are doing regularly will be your teacher at that moment. Let it be your teacher, then you will experience a bit further on how powerful this is. And that is why we conduct these sessions. So with that, I think we will wrap up today's session. And I would like to thank and pass on merits to Venerable Bhante for being with us on this session and, of course, going through such a long Q&A session as well. And I would like to pass on merits to Bhante and hope that Bhante's own practice gets positively impacted with all this good work, great work. And I also wish the Chief Bhante, Most Venerable Bhante Udayarigam Dhammaji Mahathero, to share in these merits and gain good health and long life and contribute more to mindfulness in the world. And I also wish all the organizers who invented this program at the beginning, who are still sustaining their effort on this program to run it well. Thank you and much best to all of you, and hope these merits pass on and improve and positively impact your mindfulness practice. And also all of you who are attending the session, who are the blood of the program, who are making this program a justifiable presence in this space. Thank you and much merits to all of you, and wish all of you will keep on joining and keep on inviting others as well to these sessions. These are free of charge, and these are usually even sold. These kind of trainings are sometimes sold at millions of dollars to wealthy individuals. But for us, it's a matter of passing this message to you completely free of charge. So please make best use of it consistently. So with that, the session comes to an end today. I would like to conclude now and wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you.
Namanta, very quick thought. From next week onwards, our times are changing. So just to let everyone know that it will be 7:30 instead of 8:30.
Yes, thank you so much for highlighting that, Lushani. So UK time, I believe, will end on the end of October. Next month is November. So we will have the session in UK at 7:30 a.m. If you forget this, you might miss the session after the first hour of the session. So please keep that in mind for next week and onwards. All right. I will end the session and...